Our scripture for today comes from the Gospel of Matthew in the first...
There's a difference.
There is a difference, absolutely possible. Huh? Dear Lord in heaven. How do I get through the day? Our reading for today comes from the Gospel of Mark in the first chapter, starting at verse 14 and reading through verse 20. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boats mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of this, his holy word. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we ask right now that you help us to push things to the periphery. Allow us to have a clean spot that we can hear you today. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, for it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Well, we are not far from the Advent, the Christmas season. And during this time, our focus is on the baby Jesus. We all love babies. We all love cuddling them. We all love the little sounds and facial expressions that they make. They're just so cute. And we focus, as we should, on Christ's birth, of God coming into the world. But now, shortly after that, we get into Epiphany. And we're starting to deal with the grown-up Jesus. And in about 3 weeks' time, we're going to start Lent. But we're going to focus on the death of Christ. It would be really nice if all we had to do was focus on that little baby and what he meant. But we also have to deal with the grown-up Jesus. Mark is the second book of the New Testament. However, it is the first of the four Gospels that was written. Mark is the shortest Gospel. And the other Gospel writers expanded upon what Mark did. So if you notice, there is no birth narrative. Mark gets right into the nitty-gritty and starts talking about John. And then we have Jesus in verse 14 beginning his ministry. Jesus was around 30 years old when he started his ministry. The question is, why did he wait so long? He's 30 years old. You know, I'm way past 30. But usually a 30-year-old is somewhat mature. They've been working a trade or working a job, so they have some maturity. They're able to enunciate and make themselves known. Why did Jesus wait? He could have started, you know, he could have started when he was 18. Why didn't he start when he was 18? Why didn't he start when he was 20, 25? Why did he wait until 30? Well, the answer is that was the time that for him to start his ministry. God's got a plan. And the plan in this case was it took 30 years for Jesus to start his ministry. Jesus, I think, could not actually start his ministry until John the Baptist, until his ministry was ended. First thing we read, after John was arrested. John, as we know, made the way for Christ's coming. He was preparing the people. And then Jesus comes in and declares that the kingdom of God is now. Now, after that, we read familiar, I would imagine, scripture about Jesus calling Simon and Andrew, James, and John. All four are fishermen. Now, there's a couple of things that I think needs to be mentioned. First off, let's ask the question, why fishermen? Fishermen were not the most sophisticated people in the world. They probably knew, a little bit from what they heard in synagogue and whatnot, but it's not like they have a prominent place in society. They're fishermen. They go out, fish, spread their nets, pull them into the boat, go ashore, and sell it. And by the way, the tradition is they actually fished naked. Just a little side note that you can tuck in your brain. Why fishermen? Well, I think why fishermen is because if you look in the Old Testament, I think it's in Joshua or something. Fishermen were actually an offense to the higher authorities. And the concept of hooking a fish was related to hooking the rich and the powerful. Because as we know, a lot of times the rich and powerful, they're arrogant, they think they know what is right, and they do not submit themselves to God and to God's purpose. So it's kind of fulfilling a prophecy. The other thing that this tells us is that the workers of Christ are the ordinary people. Just like you, just like me, we're the common folk. We are not the rich and the powerful, because a lot of the rich and the powerful just don't get it. They were not priests, they were not scribes, they were not Pharisees. Because for the most part, they didn't get it either. Jesus chose us, the common people, in order to do it. So, as Jesus has called these four apostles, he continues to call those that believe in him his disciples, his servants, his workers we are called to follow what Jesus tells us to. Now, another thing. We said that the fishermen were not the most intellectual people. And if you look at the 3 or so years that Christ was on earth, if you look at the disciples, a lot of the time, they just didn't get it. How many passages in the Bible talk about Jesus telling a parable, and then after that, the disciples saying, "Hey, Jesus, we don't understand. What the heck is going on here?" And in my head canon, I see Jesus rolling his eyes saying, "Oh my gosh," and then explaining it. When Jesus called the disciples, it wasn't like, you know, he came down and he said, "You are now my disciple." And all of a sudden, everything was clear to them. Not everything was clear to them. They didn't understand the parables. A lot of the time, they did not understand what Jesus was talking about, what his purpose was here on earth. So what does that say about us today? What that says is you don't need to know everything. You just need to believe and you need to try. How many of us get afraid to do something? We get afraid, you know, we think, you know, we get asked to, you know, serve on a committee or to do something, and we're afraid. And why are we afraid? Because we're afraid we're not going to be able to do it, that we are going to fail. Let me tell you, my friends, you know, those 12 guys that Jesus called, they failed. They failed, they learned, they picked themselves up, and they began again. It's kind of like us today, you know, we fail, we sin, we repent, ask forgiveness, and then what do? We get back up and we keep going. We are called to spread the word of Jesus Christ. Other thing that we are called for, and one of the reasons, again, why Jesus chose fishermen and the image of hooking the rich, is because we are not simply here to win souls for Christ. We are here on this earth to upset as many apple carts as we possibly can. Look at what Jesus did. Jesus came to upset the status quo. He came to show people that the things that they were doing were not right, that needed to change. And it got him killed. So, yes, we are to spread the love of God, but we also have to upset the things that need to be upset. I'd give you an example, but it's political and I don't want to get into that. And I know it's scary. I know that following Jesus sometimes can be hard. And it's hard because if you look at this passage, Jesus goes to Simon and Andrew and says, "Follow me." What do they immediately do? They drop their nets and they go. Next, you got James and John with their father Zebedee. Zebedee was actually a fish mogul. He had a pretty good business going on. And I see him as Zebedee as being, you know, a little bit older, getting ready to retire, getting ready to let James and John run things. But Jesus says to James and John, "Follow me." What do? They drop their nets. They leave their father and they follow him. Being called to serve involves sacrifice. It involves having the courage, if you are called to do something, to sacrifice for it. I don't know of the number of accounts that I have of successful people leaving it all behind to do something that God and Jesus has put on their hearts. Being a servant, being called to serve, number one, is a privilege. It's part of us saying thank you, God, for what you did, but it does involve sacrifice. It is hard to do sometimes. It's hard because, you know, we have our own little lives and everything is the way that it is, and, you know, we go to church on Sunday and the rest of the week, you know, we might pray every day, read scripture, and just stay in our own little safe place. Being called to serve means being called to get out of your comfort zone, to sacrifice that comfort for the good of God, for the advancement of the kingdom, for caring for the people of the world, whether they are red, yellow, black, white, whether they are rich, whether they are poor, whether they have a big house or a small house, whether they have $1 million in their bank account, or they've got 2 cents in their bank account. We are all called to serve. It's tough. It involves sacrifice. But that, my friends, is our job description. And we need to think a little bit. And I would challenge us all this day to think about how each of us can be a better disciple. Christ.